Good afternoon. Shall we pray? Father, we just come to you again. We acknowledge you again. We've been coming to you. You've been with us. And Lord, we just want to acknowledge your presence. You said if we acknowledge you in all our ways, that you will direct our path. Thank you for that promise. We pray for that today in this message. Direct my path. Lord, wing your word to many a heart. Let it change us, we pray, for the glory of God. Amen. Well, you may wonder why I'm still hanging on to this dirty old thing. Anybody wonder that? It's a good question. Why do we? What is this? You remember? Pride. Why do we hang on to it? It's ugly. Heavy. Stinks. We should just let it go, shouldn't we? Get rid of it. I hope that's that message is communicated to you this week, that it's not worth hanging on to. It's just a dirty old bag that's going to hinder our life, mess up our relationships, and prevent us from fulfilling the purpose God made us for, which is to glorify Him. I talked to Roman after his message, and I said, you might as well go ahead and share what you want to about the courtship, because we're so different, I don't think it's going to matter if I talk about the same thing. So, I hope that's okay. Okay, I have a question box here. Just a couple things I want to mention before we start. Some of you may have some questions that pop up over this teaching. And I know it's kind of the last thing here, but if you have any questions that you would like to me to try to answer, please put them in there today or by tomorrow morning. Maybe we should set it in the back there. Would that be a good spot on that little shelf? Table? Yeah, okay, on that table. We'll put it there. Because, when you teach four hours of teaching like we've had, that might seem like a lot, but really there's a lot of room for misunderstanding and so forth. And maybe the thing I meant to say, you didn't hear quite the way I meant it, or something came up yesterday that about authority and elders, and I think some of you might have been confused that I was promoting that you should need to ask your elders everything you do, or so forth, which is not what I meant. But I forgot to say in that was, as far as for you all, like courtship is an area that's very important. If you're interested in somebody, to to clear that, to find out through the elders if there's anything that you should know about, if this is that can save you a lot of heartache. So but we don't want to tell you how to do everything, or answer all your, give you directions for everything. Can you take any more in? You still got a little room? At weeks like this, I try to just get one or two things that really can change my life. Because, life change doesn't happen so fast. And you can only take in so much. But if your life can actually change because of one or two things you heard this week, wow. That's a big deal. I did this parenting seminar for some Amish believers 3 months ago. And one of the things we talked about, my wife shared her testimony about how when our girls were little, she would do the dishes with them. They would do the dishes with her, or when they were like one and two. And we just shared how that is a way to make those heart connections and to be best friends, you know, when they're 16 and 20, is that you love to do stuff with them. And that more important than getting jobs done is relationships. Well, when I came back a month or two later, I said, how did it go? Did anybody, change anything? And this one sister was kind of timidly raised her hand that, well, it's not that big a deal, she said, but I started washing dishes with my little girl, or boy, whatever it was. I said, that's not a little thing. Maybe you think that's just a little action, but actually it's a whole different way of looking at life. Because you're saying productivity is less important to me than relationship. And I just praised her. I said, that is not a little thing. You know, you got something that it's way bigger than just the little activity. So I want to encourage you in that. You know, you don't have to write down everything that Brother Paul and Romans say and, oh, I have to take these great notes or I'm going to lose it. No, just when God speaks to you and you know that this is something I need, then just make a note, write it down. Well, how shall we begin today? We've been talking about relationships and talking about the road to blessed relationships. If you want to end up with blessed relationships, you got to take the road to blessed relationships. If you take the road to bad relationships, where are you going to end up? Bad relationships. So you want to keep going on that road. And we're going to add some other things here. You know, the Bible says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And God isn't the only one that resists the proud, is He? Any of you like to hang out with proud people? I don't. It's a relationship killer because it brings resistance into our life. And relationships, I just want to share a little testimony. Life is full of choices. Okay, when I choose this choice, I exclude, a lot of times, that choice. You know, you can only do so many things. And so you make choices. Everybody does. And the choices that I've made in my life brought certain things to me, but also there's some things that I didn't have. And we were talking about this recently. One choice I made 20 years ago was to trust God for the size of my family. That was a little scary. I didn't know how that would work. I really liked my personal time and space, and it looked like that would might be taking up a lot of my time. I remember being at a preacher's week of meetings with this certain preacher. He's actually still alive. He's like 100 years, over 100 right now. Still preaches. But this man had, I think, 13 children. I was just looking at getting married. And he was a great preacher. And I felt the desire to be a minister. You know, I didn't know what I'd be as a minister, but I felt the desire to be that. But I was thinking about, okay, I'm getting married. How's this going to work? You know I need to study and prepare. And so after the service one time, I went up to him and I just said, Brother Arthur, I have a question for you. How did you find time to prepare for the ministry with all these children? Well, he thought for a minute and he said, well, brother, he said, my children were the greatest blessing in preparing me for the ministry. Because you don't learn the ministry in seminary, in a class, but you learn it in life. And so he was such an encouragement to me. He says, you don't have to be, you know, he didn't say it this way, this is what I heard. You don't have to be afraid of this. Actually, this is how you're going to learn. Because the things you do as a minister are the same things you do as a father. You love people, you teach them, you be an example, you serve. And so I made a choice. I made a choice to do that, and God did bless my family, my wife and I, with, like I said, 10 children.
There's some things that we missed out on because of that. You know, when you have that many children, you don't have as much money and as much time. And so there's certain things that we didn't do and haven't done a lot of, you know. We made a choice. We didn't eat out a lot, just for example. When I grew up, we did it all the time, like 2-3 times a week as a family. So, you know, I don't regret that choice. I like to eat it out and other things like that, but I'm glad for the choice I made. And I think it was a good one. I've found it interesting. Our culture says, you know, it's not good to have too many children because different reasons, you know, you won't be able to have the quality of life, the income, the personal, how do I say it? Self. There's a lot of reasons why people don't want that. But I have never yet met an elderly person who didn't say to me, or didn't, let's put it this way, I've never had him say, "Wow, you had that many children, that was a really dumb choice." But I've had several of them say, "Oh, you are going to be so happy when you're my age." One lady in particular, I remember, I was doing a job for her in her house. I do carpentry. And we got to talking about it, and I shared with her how many children I had. Somehow it came out. And she just said, "Oh, you're going to be so happy when you're my age." She said, "I have one daughter. She lives in Arizona. And I only get to see her like once a year." And I've never had any old folks say, "You really made a bad choice. You should have done what I did. You know, you should have had your career. Your wife should have had a career," and so forth. I just haven't heard it. Because, see, what the reason I shared that is because relationships are what makes our life blessed. And yeah, you pour your life into, for 20 years and 30 years or however many, into your children. It's a sacrifice at times. But, hey, life is about relationships. And you get back everything and more that you give. So I just wanted to encourage you with that testimony. I'm not saying everybody has to do it the way I did it, but it worked well, and I'm blessed. And I encourage you, if you have faith to believe God for that, that it's good. All right. Relationships with others. It matters who your friends are, doesn't it? Who your friends are is who you are. Anybody think of a verse that backs that up? Okay, bad company corrupts good morals. Good. Very good. Any others? I had a different one in my mind, but that's all right. That one fits too. A verse that speaks of the fact that who we hang out with is who we become. Maybe that helps. My children probably know this one. Anybody? "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed."
Sorry to interrupt, but due to an equipment malfunction, part of Paul's message was not recorded. God bless you as you continue listening to the remainder of his sermon. Paul is speaking now about computers and computer games.
I don't have time to play games. Right? Boys play with toys. Men work with tools. It's a great tool. You know what? When I'm running late, my wife's expecting me home at 6 for supper. "Sorry, I'm running late. I'm looking forward to coming home." No problem. It's all right. Trust. A lot of young men make that mistake when they first get married. They just take it for granted.
She'll understand. Hey, guy's got to work hard. A guy's got to do the job. No, she won't understand. Or she will understand that you didn't care enough to tell her.
So let's use, technology is not bad, but hey, let's use it for good. That's powerful. If we use it for building trust, that's a good use of it.
And by the way, playing games on it is a great way to ruin trust, if you're married, especially. Think about that. Sorry, dear, I just don't have time to, spend enough, read stories to the little children. But you got time to do that. Hey, some men struggle with that.
There's no shortcuts to great relationships. You got to be real. You got to be the genuine thing.
You can't fake it. I'm not here to give you 10 tips and tricks on how to have great relationships, like one of these little books you get. It's not that way. It's being a person who is able, who has a character that can be that. I want to ask you the question,
how are your relationships right now? Just think to yourself, all the relationships in your life, are you satisfied? Are they great? Maybe they are for some of you, or all of you, I hope. But maybe you think, they're not as great as I'd like them to be. I hope you get the challenge this week to go down the road and let God change you to where your relationships can be great ones now. Because they're not going to just suddenly get great.
That's one of the things I think is bad about those romance novels that Roman was talking about. It sort of gives you the idea that all of a sudden it's going to get great. I'm having these bad, unsatisfying relationships, but wow, this girl in this book, this guy just came along. Everything was wonderful all of a sudden. That's what's going to happen with me. It's unrealistic. Doesn't work that way. Well, so all you got to do to have great relationships is just keep your word and do everything you say you're going to do and be a great person. Isn't that wonderful? That's just so easy. Doesn't that give you all lots of hope? That you're going to be guaranteed that you're going to have great relationships, right? Because all you got to do is all the time do everything right. Keep your word. And be all these things. And you're guaranteed to have great relationships. Some of you don't look like you're too happy about that.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what? If it takes
great relationships require being perfect, doing it all right, we all might as well shut our notebooks and forget it, right? Because we don't do that. But I'm here to tell you today, praise the Lord, you can be an imperfect person and still have great relationships because of this next thing we're going to look at.
I am very imperfect. I make a lot of mistakes. I have some wonderful relationships with my wife, my family, my friends. It's not because I'm perfect. But I want to teach you some things here today that can show you what to do when you don't do everything right. Now, what do you think the key character quality is going to be on this next point? Anybody guess?
Humility. Our character quality for the day is humility. All right, Proverbs 18:19 says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle." That was what I was talking about before. Don't let it get there. Once someone's offended, it's harder to be won than a strong city. If you have to play catch up, you're really going to be hurting. Go for this with all your heart. Be a man of integrity. Be a woman of integrity. Do what you say you're going to do. If you don't do it, make it right. Because once relationship once trust is broken, it's so hard to get it back. There's a lot of you that work, and as you raise your hands, We know that's true in the workplace, right?
When I go into somebody's house, usually when I first get there, their trust level is really high because they hired me to come and do something. And they think, this guy's great. You know, he's really going to do a good job.
And if I do a good job, even if I do kind of a, maybe it's not the greatest work I ever did, but as long as it's good, their trust level is high enough that they don't, you know, go up with a magnifying glass and inspect everything and see if it's just perfect. But sometimes things go wrong. And I make a mistake, or maybe, you know, in my work remodeling, there's all kinds of things that can happen that maybe aren't even my fault. Sometimes they are. But guess what happens if they don't trust me anymore? Out comes the magnifying glass, white gloves, and it really makes it hard to work. Because things that normally people wouldn't even think about, now all of a sudden they're asking you questions. Why are you doing it that way? Are you sure that's the proper way? Is that according to the code, you know, the NEC, BC, 19, whatever code? You know. Because they don't trust anymore. That's been hindered. So it is a big deal. We've got to have trust. We need to look at that as something that is really important.
How many of you trust me less because of what I said on Tuesday afternoon when I asked you all to forgiveness? Do you trust me less or do you trust me more?
More.
We think if we humble ourselves, they're going to think I'm, you know, messed up. Everybody's going to know I'm I failed. Well, they already know that anyway, right?
No, it didn't make your trust go down. It made it go up. Because you said, hey, this guy, he's willing to admit when he's wrong. That doesn't, if you make a mistake, it doesn't have to destroy trust. If you can respond rightly with what we want to look at right now. And here's the thing. Learning how to make things right. A lot of Christians don't know how to do it. And because they don't, they try to, and it actually ends up worse than it was before, and then they say, I tried that, it doesn't work. You know, and so if you don't do it right, you can actually make it worse. I've got these 6 points written down here. And I hope you can hang on to these. Don't just throw them in the can when you get home, but hold on to them. You might not need it today or tomorrow, but guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to need it. And if you don't do these things, not because this is Brother Paul's list, these things are eternal truth of building trust. And so you have to do it. You got to go down the road. So let's just look at the first one. If you are the offender, you know you did something wrong. First thing you should do is pray. And I will just say briefly, like Roman said last night, you know, some people make a mess because they try to make something right with somebody they never should have. If you've been having lustful thoughts towards a boy or a girl, you don't go to that person and tell them that, right? I mean, is that going to solve the problem? There's people that actually have done that and fallen into sin with that person. Satan used it. No, you don't. That's something you do between you and the Lord, or if you really need help, you know, someone, a spiritual leader or something. So I want to preface this by that, because some people, they get into this and they get all mixed up and they think they have to do things to make something right when really they shouldn't be going to anybody about that thing. So Roma did talk about that last night, but I'm saying this is something you should today. This is something you really should make right. So first thing you do is you pray. Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother hath ought against thee, leave your gift before the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother. The reason why so many relationships are bad is people didn't do it. They either didn't do it because they were too proud or they didn't know how. And so there's this barriers between people that are erected between two people And they wonder, or maybe they don't wonder, but there's a bad relationship. Those barriers have to come down. So go to them and confess what you did. In plain English, what were the actions that you did?
Let's say that you... I don't know. What's an example? Let's just say that you stole something. Hopefully that would never even be mentioned here, but tell them what you did. I took this. I took it.
Okay. When my dad, when I was a boy, my dad worked for a company, and he used to go and do bookkeeping and managerial things. And one time he discovered a thief because of his book work. This guy was ripping off the company's tools. And this fella, a lot of tools, thousands of dollars, ended up getting fired. If you're the boss of that man, and he came to you after that, and he said, "Hey, I'm sorry for taking your tools. Sorry for taking your tools. Yeah. Would you forgive me?" How would you feel? Would you hire me back? "Hey, sorry I took your tools. Would you hire me back?" Does that make your heart go up? No. There's something missing. That's number two. Okay? Confess the root attitude that led to the offensive actions. Now, let's say that same man comes to you and he says, "Boss, you've been so good to me. You gave me a job. You provided for my family. You know, you trusted me with this big tool thing. And I was selfish. You know, I was proud. I didn't think about you. All I cared about was myself. I dishonored you. I trampled on the trust that you gave me. I am so sorry. I have done you wrong. I don't deserve to ever work here again." You might just hire that guy back, right? Why? Because he's honest. And what happens to a lot of people when they do something offensive, they just say, "Hey, sorry. Sorry for that." And the heart of the other person does not release, even though they may say and mean it, you know, "I forgive you," as far as holding it against them, but inside the heart there's a barrier that says, you know what, they really don't get it yet. They don't see it. That's what we want to tear down. If you're going to have a relationship with that person, you've got to tear it down. And going to them and confessing the root attitude, I mean, circle this one. This thing is so big, hardly anybody does it. Hardly anybody does it. They don't actually look at the attitude. And I found usually I can throw pride in there somewhere, myself. Maybe you guys aren't as proud as me. But you know, that's a good one. Because everybody knows you are. So you might as well say it. In fact, we need to practice this thing right now. You know what? Because it's not easy to get off the top. All right? Let's do some exercise. Everybody stand up. All right, we're going to start out with a pretty... Well, this one's about a medium. We'll start out with not a real hard one first. Let's start out with, "I was wrong." All right? Turn to the person next to you at the count of three and see if you can do that. 1, 2, 3. All right, now turn the other way and say it to the other person. Okay, didn't that feel good? Say it again. All right, one more time. All right, now that you're warmed up, we're going to get to the college level. "I was proud." All right, go ahead. Okay, again. One more time. Say, "Yes, you were." Okay, you can sit down. All right. Is everybody okay? Is there anybody that's on the floor or needs to be resuscitated. You know, it didn't really hurt. And, you know, I've found that it doesn't hurt either when you do that in real life, like with my wife. It's hard to get it off. Oh, it's hard to get it out. But once you get it off, it really doesn't hurt a bit. In fact, it's very healing. So this is great. Now do that 2 or 3 times a day when you get home. So, number 2 is really important. You've got to get down to the root attitudes of what you did. Number 3, ask them, and there was a little typo here that I want to point out. Ask them to share how, cross out the and. Ask them to share how what you did, cross out that. Ask them to share how what you did hurt them or made them feel bad. Give them a chance. If you don't know already, maybe you do. Maybe you know how it hurt them. You know, when I got saved, before I was saved, I was a lifeguard when I was 18. And I got fired from my job because I had a bad attitude. I disobeyed the manager. He said, "Don't ever leave a girl lifeguard alone at the pool." Well, one day, it was a rainy day, cold. One person was there, except for the girl and I, and nobody was going to go swimming because it was freezing. And I just said, "Hey, I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to stick around here. You know, this is boring." So I left. Well, he called me up that night and he said, "You're fired." And that was really painful. Wake up call. And I don't want to get into all the details of that. But 5 years later, I got saved. And I heard about making stuff right. And what came to my mind was this man that fired me. And so I went through this list of, okay, I want to do this right. And I called him up on the phone. And I just, you know, said, "Hey, Rob is his name. How you doing? You know, listen, and this wasn't easy, as you can imagine. I hadn't talked to the guy for 5 years. And we had some bad things to say about each other when we did part. You know how it goes. I said, "You know, I just wanted you to know I became a Christian. And I disrespected you and dishonored you when I was working for you. And, you know, you gave me a job." I don't remember all I said, but I got to the root attitude. And he was just so free to forgive me. And so, we all make mistakes, and well, he had some bad attitude too, and he admitted it. He said, "You know, my attitude wasn't so good either. And that's all right. No problem. I forget all about it." That's healing. That's leaving a path of life that's clear. That's what Paul said when he said, "I exercise myself to keep a conscience void of offense toward God and man." And if God speaks to your heart, like, you know there's somebody you need to do that with. I'm not talking about some people, you know, they try to just drag everything up and they're so meticulous about things that they shouldn't even be thinking about. I'm saying something real. You know, it's, you got to make this right. This, what I'm giving you today, please take, pay attention to it. Because, you know, if you go the wrong way, it can be worse than never going at all. Because that person, you know, it just kind of compounds it. And this takes some soul searching to do it right. Don't just blurt it out to them on the phone. You know, the first thing you think about, no, you got to pray about it. You got to think about it. What am I going to say? How do I need to say this? And I can tell you, it's a freeing experience. You know how good I felt about getting off the phone with that fellow? For 5 years, I carried around that weight, ugly thing. I got rid of it. And I felt so good. Oh, so clean. It's not just about me and God, but it's about me and everybody else, too. Now, ask them to share how what you did hurt them or made them feel bad. That is another point that goes sort of along with number 2, because it helps you feel what they felt. It helps you to understand them. Because sometimes we did something wrong, and you know we know we did wrong, but we really don't know how bad it hurt them or what it... So if you actually give them that opportunity, again, that opens their heart to you to say, hey, you know what, I think they really want to know how that hurt me. And they might just feel free enough to tell you, well, since you asked, this is how it made me feel. And then give them that opportunity. And then be receptive to hear what they say. Number four, express the I will to not repeat the offense. That's another key. To let that person know, I'm going to try never to do that again. Actually, that's not probably the best way to say it. How about, I purpose not to do that again. You know, by God's help, I'm not going to do that again. Because one of the things, isn't it true, when someone offended you, if you think they're going to keep doing it, isn't it make it kind of hard? But if they actually say to you, I don't want to do this again. I'm purposing that I will not do it again. There, that again is something that builds relationship, frees us up. My wife and I, sometimes if we have a situation, we'll even say, okay, this is how this happened. We like to analyze it, you know, what went wrong. Look at it. Look at that old flesh, self, or whatever it was. Okay, this is what happened. Next time, this is what I'm going to try to do in this situation. All right, great. And this is what I'm going to try to do. Super. You know, we're going to hopefully not do that again. That frees us up to each other. Okay? Then, number five, and I will say to you, these all six of these are so key. You don't want to miss one. Ask for forgiveness. A lot of people go so far, but they never actually ask, would you forgive me? And the purpose, and don't say, I need you to forgive me. You know, you have to forgive me. No, you got to come humbly. But ask. Because by doing that, you are making the reality of this forgiveness being spoken forth. Would you forgive me for that? Then the person has to make a choice. And if they say, yes, I will, then you know you have been forgiven. It's one reason why it's better to go in person in many situations than to write a note, because if you write a note, you don't know what they think. You see what I mean? But no, you ask them, would you please forgive me? And okay, number six. This is one that hardly anybody does either. But this is in a case where you know your relationship's been bad and you're trying to bring healing. Ask them, is there anything else between us? Give them a chance to say it, because a lot of times there actually is something else. You know, they're willing, because you're coming to them saying, I did this wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And they may be saying, yeah, all right, I forgive you. But there may be something else that you didn't even, you know, we're so dull, we're so blind to ourselves. Ask them, is there anything else? Again, that's the humble attitude. You're saying, look, I'm open. If there's anything else, tell me, please. That's not that hard, is it? Okay. Now, it's sort of similar if you're the one who's offended, but not quite, because there's only so much you can do. Let's look at that. If somebody offends you, prayerfully choose a time to go and talk to them. Ask them if you can. Don't just say, hey, I need to talk to you. Say, yeah, there's something I'd really like to talk about with you. Would we be able to meet? Be humble. Yeah, well, I'll meet you. Fine. Okay, such and such a time, let's meet. Great. All right. State humbly, but clearly, what action they did and how it hurt you. You know, I've had to do this with my Christian brothers different times. And it's never fun. It's never easy. Nobody likes to do it. But I found healing. I found relationship restored because of that. How many relationships in the body of Christ are broken and destroyed and messed up because we don't do these things? Jesus said, if your brother offends you,
Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Don't tell sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so first. There we go. That's, you know, the way of the world. No. Go yourself. If they ask for forgiveness, well, like I said, state humbly but clearly what they did and how it hurt you. Try to help them to see what this did. Because they probably don't even know it. And if they ask for forgiveness, tell them that you forgive them. Release them. I release you. It's done. Okay. Well, I have some ingredients here on the next side of the page. Okay, ingredients of blessed relationships. Let's just look at that real quick. I thought about my own life and some ingredients that I enjoy in my relationships. Mutual admiration and honor. You appreciate each other without feeling threatened. Usually opposites attract. Like my wife and I are opposites. I love the way she is. She loves the way I am. And it's not a threat. It's beautiful. Sometimes we do irritate each other because of that. But we honor each other. You know, we appreciate those things about each other that are different. And a lot of times that's the way it is in our peers too, isn't it? You know, you like people, you're drawn to people that are have strengths that you don't have. And you just admire it so much. And you're not threatened. Again, fear, perfect love casts out fear. Fear in relationships is awful. When you got fear in your relationship, it brings torment. Fear is from the devil. Love is from the Lord. Love casts out fear. All right, realness. You don't have to perform or pretend. Truthfulness. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." You know, if you don't have a friendship where you can actually speak into your life, where you can tell your friend, "Hey, you know, there was something I noticed. Can I just talk to you about it?" And if you can't do that, your depth is not very deep. We should have that kind of thing where we can actually do that with our friends. You're allowed to say no. I had a friend call me the other night. He said, "We'd like to do a certain thing, and can we drop off two of our children?" Well, somebody just left, and we were exhausted, and I just didn't feel I could do that. Actually, I was getting ready, you know, for this, and I had to study and everything. And I just told him, I said, "You know, I wish I could do it, but I just feel like it's too much." Well, he said, "Hey, that's fine." You know, he said, "The reason I asked you is because I knew you'd tell me the truth. If it was too much, you'd say no." And so he wasn't upset with me. He didn't, you know, "Oh, I can't believe you did this. You know, you ruined our evening." But he actually said, "I take that as the Lord leading, you know. Thank you for being honest." That's a good relationship. And then, you know, down there it says manipulation. You know, a lot of people are in these relationships where they manipulate each other. "If you do that again, it's going to make me feel so bad. I don't know what I'll do then." You know, that's an awful way to live, isn't it? Don't go there. Run from that. You probably already do, but no, don't manipulate people. The reason why we manipulate people is day one, day two of our sessions. We're insecure. We're hurting. We're not. Our identity is not in the right thing. So now we're going to manipulate people. Get them to do what we want them to do. That's a terrible relationship. If you have a problem with that, I just encourage you, you know, let God change you. You're not going to have good relationships in your life if you do that. Realistic and shared expectations. Ask a lot of questions. I've been blessed here this week, you know, some of you just watching the interactions and seeing how some of you ask questions. Like, is this okay? You know, can we do this? Can we talk about this right now? You know, that's the way to have good relationships. Realistic and shared expectations. You find out what's their expectation. You know, is it okay to write to you every week? Is it okay to write you emails 3 times a day? You know, no. Well, how about once a week? Yeah, that'd be all right. See what I mean? some people, you know, there's a verse in the Bible. Look at this one. Proverbs 25:17.
Withdraw your foot from your neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Huh? Have you ever felt that way? I have. There's been times I had someone over and they just, you know, stayed. And of course, you don't want to tell them to go. But it's like 9 o'clock, you know. And so we have to be sensitive. Ask that question if you're at someone's house. Hey, you know, did you have plans for the evening? Or, you know, feel it out a little bit. Because guess what? Do you think people want to invite you back? Seriously. If you want to have friends, you got to be friendly. You got to act right. You got to have the right expectations.
We have this neighbor, Vivian, that is a homeschooler. And I think she has, what, one child, two? Four. Okay, she has four. A little out of touch with it. I'm not there for P.E.
But she wanted to have P.E. with somebody in school. So she's really good at this. She'll write us emails, hey, is this okay? You know, can we do this? Is that all right with you? Is this time okay? She's just very good at making sure she's not imposing herself. And I appreciate that. We appreciate that. It makes you feel like, hey, I'd like to be a blessing to this lady. You know what? Whereas if she was just, you know, buzzing around like a gnat all the time, you know, you would quickly want to say, hey, you know, we're not doing PE for a while or whatever. We're not doing PE at our house this semester. So it's very important to do that. If you want to have good relationships, learn how to do it. My wife taught me how to do this. Because my family had bad relationships. When my dad's idea of relating that he was not happy about something was to grab a beer and go off by himself and have a bad mood. That was a big word. I never say that word anymore, but in our house, you know, Dad's in a bad mood. Watch out, Dad's in a bad mood. What's wrong, Mom? Well, Dad's in a bad mood. What was wrong was Dad never learned to communicate. And so I didn't know how to communicate either. My wife knew how really well, so she didn't let me get away with it. But we did learn the patterns of life from our family. And maybe some of you got bad patterns. But she asked me all these questions. How you feeling? How you feeling right now? Bad. Oh, well, what happened? You know, she just kept asking these questions. Well, it sort of bothered me, but, you know, it didn't because I really wanted to do it. I wanted to tell her, but I didn't know how. So praise God for help me. But let's learn how to do it already. Ask those questions. Hey, you know, we all know what it's like when in a relationship you say something or something happens and you can just sense that somebody's didn't take it well, right? Ask them a question. Hey, I noticed that maybe I'm wrong here, maybe I'm off, but I thought I noticed that you were a little something happened when I said this. What was that okay? Did you feel, what were you feeling? Ask questions. Learn to communicate. Wow, time's going flying here. Okay. You want to have great relationships? Be a giver, not a taker. There's some people that are takers, and men especially, I think of, but women are too. All the world is something for them to get. And whatever they touch, all the life gets sucked out of it. Be a giver. You know, there's other men, whatever they touch, something gets built up. Something gets put together. Something gets blessed. Something gets enhanced. Same thing with the sisters, you know. Some raw materials. There's some people that when they come upon some raw materials, you know, it's just consumed and where'd they go? Other people, raw materials, they build something, they make something, they give something. Let God make you a giver.
We're going to bring things to a close. You know who your best friend is? It's the one who knows the most about you. Whoever knows the most about you is your best friend. Let's look at our questions. How easy is it for you to admit you were wrong? Are there some areas I need to humble myself toward my siblings and peers? Share about one of your blessed relationships with a parent or friend and why it is a blessing. And maybe somebody can share a testimony about when you made something right and the blessing that it brought. Or you could even share a negative one, that where you tried and it didn't work. I meant to mention something about siblings today. I am so blessed with my children, their relationships they have, because they have a vision for each other. And right where you're at right now, I don't know, most of you probably have some siblings. I don't know, maybe some of you don't, but this is your school, your opportunity to become a great relator. And if you have if you practice these things with your siblings, being a giver, being a lifter up, being an encourager, being a blesser, guess what you're going to be when you start your home? And guess who's going to be around the rest of your life when you need somebody? You know, maybe that's a selfish way of looking at it, but I'm not looking at it the selfish way. I'm just saying that's a fact of life. You're going to have all these people that love you, care about you, want to bless you and help you. And so let's just pray together. Lord, we've heard a lot of things this week. And we pray that, again, that you could put your finger on the areas that you want us to change in. Think especially of this session here of learning how to restore relationships. I pray, Lord, that these youth, if there are any broken relationships, that you will be restorer of the relationships, the minister of reconciliation. Thank you that you're a restoring God. Lord, bless them as they go to their groups to discuss. And Father, my desire and prayer for each one here is that they would prosper and be in health in their relationships right now and the rest of their life, that they can glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.